Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The views given on the following program are not necessarily the views of the station management or staff. Since individual situations can and will be different, please remember this when exercising any options presented by our guests.
Success is equated with excess. The ambition for excess wrecks us. As the top of the mountain becomes the bottom line, where success is equated with excess.
This is Care for My Wealth. With Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management, your fee-only investment firm. Now, here's your Care for My Wealth guy, Chris Klein.
This is Care for My Wealth right here on Fox Sports 1070 The Game, hanging out this Saturday morning with Chris Klein. Of course, Chris comes to us from Capstone Wealth Management. You can learn more about Chris and the team at Capstone Wealth Management on the website, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. Get more information, you can email Chris, info@careformywealth.com. That's info@careformywealth.com. Even better, pick up the phone, give Chris a call, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. Chris, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well, and it's great to talk with you, and feels like, oh, go ahead.
Most people are probably sitting back and saying, oh man, squeeze feels so good.
Yeah.
What do you mean? A hug? I don't know, a hug. No. Bear market squeeze.
Get a bear hug. But I'm guessing, Chris, we've hit bottom. All is good. It's all sunshines, rainbows, and puppy dogs, I think is where we're headed.
That's what everybody wants to have. Yeah. That's what everybody wants everybody to believe. You're right. Yeah, and that's exactly the way the response to the CPI data was. Is that, hey, the Fed pivoted. Yeah, everything's just, you know, all to your point, solved. Inflation is fixed, and you know clearly that's not the case. I'll give you an example real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, before we kind of dive into the specifics of our day here. So this last week, of course, the Fed data comes out for the CPI print. Mm-hmm. All right, awesome. You know, that's always fun. And the CPI print was 8.5%. All right. Everybody gets excited. Why? Because that was a 60 basis point deceleration from the previous month's peak cycle print of inflation that we got. Oh, my goodness. That's it. Inflation is defeated.
Sure.
Problem solved. Problem solved, right? Well, I'll give you one tidbit out of that, right? Before we really kind of dig into the meat of it. So the 60 basis point deceleration in inflation, which by the way, just for anyone who's tuning in for the very, very first time, you're going to hear me talk in context of economic cycles and those being viewed through a quadrant system. And what we are facing are four back-to-back-to-back-to-back quad four economic cycles, which is characterized by decelerating growth, as defined by GDP, and decelerating inflation. So as you know, to us, because we've talked about it, a deceleration in inflation in the midst of a quad four cycle is not something that is surprising. Mm-hmm. It's that is a specific characteristic of a quad four cycle, right? So inflation decelerates 60 basis points from previous month to this month. Yay, everybody's excited, deceleration, inflation solved. But if you really dug into that, 59 basis points of that 60 basis point drop was due to gasoline. Mm-hmm. One factor made up all of the deceleration, right? And why? Well, it's because oil is down 20% from its peak in June. So of course you're going to see some disinflation. Because why? Because the CPI data is a 1 month lag to what you end up seeing in June in oil. June deflates over 20% from its peak in June. We get the August print cycle, which 1 month lag, right? So what is consistent with respect to oil crashing in the midst of a recession oncoming? And the answer is, it's that. You get a deceleration happening. So everybody gets excited that inflation is solved, right? Mm-hmm. And we sit back and said, well, it's still 8.5%, by the way. their target is 2.5%, in case anybody forgot.
Yeah.
So we're only 600 basis points above what their target is. And so we said, all right, everybody's excited because the Fed, or they think the Fed is pivoting or stepping away from a rising interest rate cycle. That's what that means when someone says, oh, the Fed pivoted, right? And our answer to that is, well, no, that's not how that works. And sort of funny, on the day after the CPI print, the sector ETFs, those exchange-traded funds that trade specific to a sector, that were up the most on everybody excited that inflation has been defeated, was natural gas, up a mere 6.1%, natural gas producers, up 4.8%, oil exploration and production, up 4.7%, small cap energy companies, up 4.6%, and then the biofuels, because everybody gets excited about sustainable resources and biofuels, that was up 3%. So that sort of made me laugh a little bit, because the media is creating this narrative of this Fed pivot because inflation's decelerating, which again, that happens in a quad four growth and inflation deceleration cycle, which by the way is not good for bullishness in this full cycle. But the sectors that were up the most in that particular narrative that's being parroted by the media, mm-hmm, is oil, which by the way, oil is probably the best leading indicator of inflation. Again, not great for the consumer. So what have we been saying that this entire market cycle is based on? It's based on the consumer having serious problems. The great financial crisis was a crisis of Wall Street that ended up on Main Street. The crisis that we're heading into in terms of the recessionary action within these back-to-back-to-back-to-back quad four cycles is on Main Street that'll end up on Wall Street. It's different, right? Mm-hmm. So I understand how people feel in the midst of a bear market rally or a squeeze, right? Great big bear hug. I get it, right? These happen. But, you know, what people need to remember and be confident in is that we are still very much in a bear market. And why? Well, again, we don't look at it like we certainly don't look at it like the media in general does, as you know. The media tends to look at things in a single factor perspective, which typically is wrapped exclusively around price. And when they wrap everything around price and price only, that's a single factor model. Well, single factor models in Wall Street is a real surefire way to get yourself hurt. So that's not something that you want to do. You want a multi-factor system that helps you to model a number of things that gives you an indication of where the trend is. And the trend for all three of the major indexes, S&P, NASDAQ, Russell 2000, are still bearish based on price, volume, and volatility. And so everybody on TV and everybody in newsprint is cheerleading all the green that they're seeing on their screens, right? And they want to believe, they want you to believe, they need you to believe that the bull market has now restarted. bear market's over. And in fact, if you do just a little bit of searching, which, by the way, you don't have to do too much surfing and surging and searching for this data, you'll find headlines over the last 2 to 3 days. U.S. stocks capped strong rally. NASDAQ composite back in bull territory. Yeah, okay. And then they actually went on to say that it ends the longest NASDAQ bear market since the financial crisis. Are we really to believe that the largest growth cycle that we experienced coming out of the pandemic at 12.23% GDP, with the fastest deceleration of GDP on its way to zero from 12.23? Again, it's all about rate of change math. It's not about the number. Are we really to believe that that bear market cycle is completely over now? I have a hard time with that because the data doesn't say that's what's happening. Some people, when they look at a bear market, will say, well, yeah, but the market's up over the past month. Yep, you're right. But guess what? The NASDAQ is still down over 20% from its cycle peak. And this is what the media doesn't do. They don't view things in terms of cycle time. Cycle time and clock time. Cycle time is what happens with the economic cycles as manifest through what we see in the equity markets. Clock time is what happens in time and space based on the time that markets are open and functioning, right? Mm-hmm. So if we look at things on a cycle time basis, because we want to be full cycle investors, the objective is always within a bear market, do as best as possible to keep yourself from crashing that 20, 30, 40, 50%. And when you can maintain that capital, then when you come out of it, you'll be able to jump back on that bull again and ride it just fine. And so they forget that in cycle time and space, NASDAQ's still down 20% from its cycle peak. And one of the things that everybody has to remember when it comes to building a quality portfolio to push yourself through a very, very difficult bear market, especially one that is rallying like what we've seen of late, is simply that you never, never, ever invest in the present. And the guy that coined that was probably the best hedge fund manager of a generation, a guy by the name of Stan Druckenmiller. The kinds of returns that he was able to generate for, you know, the biggest of big wealth types of investors out there is phenomenal. But I'll never forget that comment, never, ever invest in the present. And what gets hard about that, of course, is that you have to be a full cycle investor, which means if something's in a bearish trend, you just don't go out and buy it because there's green on the screen and CNBC says the bear market's over.
Yeah.
That you just can't do that. You have to invest with the next 3 to 6 months in mind. So when building the portfolio, the idea is based on what the data is saying and based on what's coming, how should we position things for the next 3 to 6 months? Because here's something super, super valuable for everybody to remember. This current market, under the surface of just price, again, which is mostly what you see, Sean. Mm-hmm. I mean, who in the world talks about price, volume, and volatility on TV?
I know one guy on the radio that does, not on TV.
Yeah, it's not something that's communicated. Nobody wants to talk about multi-factor things. They'll look at single factors like a moving average or something like that. We can't forget that this current market, under the surface of just price, is a train wreck of epic proportions. And it's much worse than 2000 and 2008. And I know that that's saying an awful lot. And people might be sick and tired of what sounds to them like a broken record of that guy on the radio that has been uber bullish or bearish, since January. But the reality is that there were bear market rallies in both 2000 and 2008 that were up 21 to 23% in that average range. And if you go back and you start looking at bear market rallies that have happened even during the Great Depression, 29 to 32, the average is about 22%. But here's the key. In 2000 and 2008, specifically in 2000 with the dot bomb, mm-hmm. that 21% bear market rally happened before the market crashed to down 78% on the NASDAQ. Now think about that for just a second. Do I think something like that is possible again? Yep, I do. Why? Because conditions are just worse. I said this just a few moments ago, but it bears repeating. The great financial crisis, the 2008 meltdown that took place, that took out Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers, that everybody, I'm sure, remembers to some extent, was a Wall Street crisis that ended up landing on Main Street. This is a Main Street recession that's eventually going to get figured out by both the Fed and Wall Street, eventually. When you think about how the Fed is responding, because that's the whole idea behind the modeling system that we employ. It's growth, inflation, and policy. You want to get the rate of change math correct based on what growth and inflation are doing. And if you can calculate that correctly, what it does is it lets you get in front of what the policymakers are doing with the money, i.e. the Fed. So that's the whole objective, front running the Fed. And if you front run the Fed, what'll happen is that over the long period of the cycle, you'll be able to front run that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Please know that there is no pivot from the Fed. They have not stopped their rate hiking campaign, and they certainly haven't moved it into a rate cutting bias. There's nothing in terms of the data, and there's nothing in terms of what has been continued to be said, and there's nothing in the way that markets are pricing the current movement of the yield curve to suggest that the Fed's done hiking and that they now have a cutting bias. How do I know? It's a great question. Yes. I like asking myself questions if you haven't.
It's a great question, though, Chris.
How do I know all that? Well, yeah. Look at the two-year Treasury bond, right? If the two-year Treasury bond is so, and the two-year Treasury bond gives you a really great indication of the Fed's expectations and responses. If the market were truly pricing in a rate cut, the two-year Treasury would just be collapsing in yield right now. It's not. In fact, the day after the Fed came out and announced the CPI data, the two-year Treasury was up about 10 basis points on the day. The bond market is pricing in rate hikes from the Fed to continue on the short end of the curve, because that's what the two-year Treasury is. And they're pricing in, and that is the bond market, the bond market's pricing in a recession. And that's where you start looking at the 10-year Treasury, because we're starting to see the U.S. 10-year Treasury yields back off some. That portion of the yield curve is pricing in recession. Why? Well, because the data is showing that we anticipate growth, real growth, GDP, decelerating from 12.23% in its peak on a year-over-year basis to where it was in 2021 to zero coming over the next couple of quarters. So the CPI print that came out this past week in Wednesday, which I guess everybody now thinks is a new bull market. Although 2 months ago when we had 8.5%, everybody thought, the end of the world is here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of funny. You got to sort of laugh at how this stuff gets rolled out and talked about. But again, it's not. So no matter what the CPI report says, we still have recessionary cost of living pressure. That's not going away anytime soon. Small business in America, which, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, small businesses in America make up 98% of all business in the United States.
Wow.
That's a number that most people don't recognize. Yeah. Small businesses in America right now are registering earnings and expectations that we haven't seen since the lows of the great financial crisis. So clearly, small business is super important to the makeup of growth and GDP that is again, decelerating, which is very consistent with a typical and normal quad four with both growth and inflation on a decelerating basis. So I know we're probably getting a little long here, but when we come back from this next break, I'm going to give you specifics as to why the recessionary cost of living pressure isn't going away. I'm going to, throughout the show, give you some examples specific to what's happening in the equities market as far as earnings, because that's a super important thing to recognize, because at the end of the day, earnings is really the quantifier for stock price growth, that this bear market rally we've been seeing has been all founded on short covering, and I'll explain in more detail what that means, and then just give you some perspective on how to consider positioning and building your portfolio over the next 3 to 6 months to take advantage of what we see coming in terms of this recessionary storm. Because right now, the Fed is getting a gift by the way people are acting and pushing the U.S. equity markets higher over the last month. Mm. Why is it a gift? Because a higher stock market gives the Fed complete cover to keep pushing the rate hiking campaign. And that's one thing that people fail to understand, is that the Fed needs that cover to keep forcing rates higher, to that, in their perspective, can cause inflation to decelerate. Although it's going to start decelerating on its own, because when you start factoring shipping rates and oil and a lot of the other components that build the CPI calculation, mm-hmm. yeah, we're going to see it decelerate. But I'm going to give you details on that deceleration, and it's not the deceleration that tells us, hey, we don't have recessionary cost of living pressure anymore. Yeah, we do.
We'll get those details, and we'll talk about that cost of living, those pressures when it comes to the recessionary cost of living, with the details from Chris and so much more. We'll do all of that next. We're talking with Chris this morning. It is so important. If you haven't been to the website yet, check them out online. Learn about the whole team at Capstone Wealth Management. Their website, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. The telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. You can also email Chris, info@careformywealth.com. That's info@careformywealth.com. We'll continue our conversation with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management next here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game. This is Care for My Wealth here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game, talking this Saturday morning with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. Mention the website careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. If you haven't been there recently, check it out. You can learn more about Chris and the whole team at Capstone Wealth Management. Again, that website, careformywealth.com. The telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. 9886. We've got an action-packed and informative segment ahead as well. Don't forget, if you missed any part of the program, you can go to foxsports1070.com, listen to the podcast there, or subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform, or of course, head on over to careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. The first note I have for us on the return here, Chris, involves the pressure when it comes to this recessionary situation, kind of that pressure on cost of living. What do folks need to know there, and what does that tangibly mean for the rest of us?
Yeah, good question. So the recessionary cost of living pressure that we see in place throughout the cycle is not going away. And here's a good example. Even if the CPI came in at zero for each remaining month through the end of the year, mm-hmm. which obviously it's not. I mean, the data that we've got is going to show it at, you know, the mid to low eights to the high sevens, really into the end of the year, into the high sixes. So it's clearly not going to be zero for every, even though, I don't know if you heard this, even though that's what we heard from the government, specifically President Biden. Oh. Did you know that inflation was zero?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that made me laugh. I'm like, oh my God, they're really wordsmithing the heck out of this one. Anyway, even if it came in zero for each remaining month through the end of the year, the CPI print would still be showing over 6% year-over-year growth because of the way they calculate it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Don't forget, the Fed's target's 2.5%. So if it's not going to come in at 6%. It's going to be some number greater than that. Just, again, because of the way it's calculated. It's not magic. It's just math. Right?
Yeah.
People need to not get all freaked out about this stuff and just recognize this stuff is baked into the cake based on the way that the calculation is built. It's not me doing it. It's just the math. So this is one of the main reasons why the Fed's clearly not going to stop raising interest rates, which of course, at some point, mostly when all these weak-handed hedge funds have no more shorts to cover, right? And that the market believes that all the bears are dead, that's when you start seeing phase two of the bear market coming in and ripping people's faces off that are out there buying the meme stocks, right? Mm-hmm. The AMCs and the GameStops and Carvana and, you know, Tesla to some extent and all this stuff. We forget that Tesla doesn't make money selling cars. Yeah, you know, do with that whatever you want. But the Fed...
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
They're not going to stop until they crash. Mm-hmm. They're not going to pivot until this thing crashes. And that's what people need to recognize. Most of the drop in markets that happened in 2000 happened after the Fed actually started cutting rates back then from 6.5% down to 1.75%. I know I've talked about that a little bit, but on average, markets don't bottom for about 15 months after the Fed stops raising rates. We went over that in great detail, I think just last week, didn't we?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah.
That stuff is super valuable to recognize. All right. Well, we know that the Fed's not stopped hiking interest rates. And if on average markets don't bottom for 15 months after they've stopped, what does that tell us? That we're just going to magically believe that the media is correct and the bear market's over? I don't think so. As I said, a green on the screen type of an environment with regards to a stock market and a complicit and cooperative media telling everybody, hey, it's all good. Jump back in. The water's fine. You know, not seeing the shark fin out there. All it does is embolden the Fed to be more aggressive with their rate hikes. But let me give you a little bit of color as to why the recessionary cost of living pressure isn't going to go away here in the near term. And also, perhaps more importantly, to give some color in terms of why this is worse than 2000 and 2008. Small business earnings, and when you look at it on a trailing three-month basis, have already hit recessionary levels. And that data goes back to 1986. But yet we have some of the worst comps. In other words, when I say comp, I mean a base effect. I mean the comparative that a company or a sector is going to have to go against, which is the quarter from the previous year. So we're just reporting Q2 earnings. Their comparisons are against Q2 of 2021. Q3 earnings, which end up getting reported in the beginning stages of Q4, are comped against Q3 of 2021. It's a deceleration rate of change math perspective, right? Hmm. But the three-month trailing earnings cycle for small businesses have already hit recessionary levels. It's not over. It's to most extent just getting started. As I mentioned before, small business sales expectations, and that's the next 3 months, they're at the lows that we haven't seen since the great financial crisis. CEO confidence. This is, in my mind, a big one, because to some extent, CEOs of publicly traded companies are, in fact, cheerleaders in chief. They have to be.
Yeah.
They've got to sell their vision. They've got to sell what they're doing. They've got to let everybody know, hey, everything's fine. You don't need to sell our stock and crash it. Because why? So many publicly traded companies pay their people in stock compensation. And if that goes to heck in a bucket, what are they going to do? They're going to get a brain drain, because they're going to lose good quality people who are watching their pay get completely slammed with a stock price that's getting hammered. CEO confidence is at a new cycle low in July. Now, that's not normal, right? That is just not a normal environment for a raging bull market. If we think of goods activity,
yeah,
it's softening and contracting. Services activity, softening and negative. Manufacturing, slowing and in a contractionary state. Housing, sales are down by 21% since January.
Wow.
Now think about that. And you can push that a little bit farther and say, okay, well, what about listings and things that are up on the market right now? And most of this data comes out of like Redfin, for example, or Realtor.com or things of that nature. When we start looking at price cuts, because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's really what is, you know, driving some of the deceleration in the data. Homes cutting price in June were at roughly 14.5%. Pre-pandemic numbers were 18%. July came in at 19%. So 19% of the houses on the market are experiencing a rate cut, wow. A price cut, right? Owners are saying, hey, drop the price so I can move the house. That number is accelerating. All right, well, that's fine. But what happens in a, quote, deflationary cycle where people are seeing the prices of things like a big ticket item, like a house, drop? They slow down their buying because they look at it and go, oh, prices are falling. Well, I'll just wait. Right? That creates a very, very negative feedback loop for that particular asset class. Consumer confidence, all-time lows. Real wage growth, it's slowing. And not only is it slowing, but now it's negative. Inventories, 38-year high. Now think about that for a moment. That's not very good for businesses because why? It signals a collapse in demand. Inventories don't just magically start accumulating at a 38-year high unless people are saying, I don't think I'm going to buy. Mm-hmm. Consumer credit, all-time high. Why? Because people are having trouble just paying their bills. So what do? They resort to the credit cards. And not just are they resorting to credit cards, but it's happening at a time where credit card interest rates are at an all-time high. It's just not a good combination for an already stretched consumer, right? There are so many macro data points that get completely lost in the noise of the green on the screen. And that's what causes people to invest in right now versus invest in the future. And if there's any one thing anyone would take away from anything that I'm saying today, is to recognize never, never, ever invest in the present, as Mr. Drunkenmiller so aptly stated, invest in the future, okay? Mm-hmm. The NASDAQ cycle peak to where it is right now, even inclusive of this bear market rally that's happened, is still down 20%, right? That's, I think, a very important element for people to recognize that is not lost on the professional institutional investor, which, by the way, it's still August. Some things that people misunderstand is that the really, really, really big boys on Wall Street, mm-hmm. they come back from their family vacations and hanging out in the Hamptons and all that stuff in September. They're not in the turret to the extent that a lot of people think that they are right now. All right, well, that's all well and good, right? The CPI data did not cause the Fed to pivot. If anything, based on the reaction in market and the short covering that pushed stock prices higher. Short covering just means that a hedge fund or a whole slew of them really went out and they borrowed shares of a company, they sold it into the open market, and now they have a liability. They are hoping to buy that stock back at a lower price that is called covering their short, and then they get the profit. So if they sold it at 10, bought it back at 5, they make a $5 profit, right? Yep. Well, if that stock goes against them, they sold it at 10 and all of a sudden it's at 12 and at 15 and at 20. At some point, the people who own the hedge fund are going to tap them on the shoulder and go, hey, all that? Stop. Cover your shorts. And they have a tendency to cover them at exactly the wrong time. And we've seen this happen again and again and again over bear market cycles. So when you hear about short covering rallies, it's like a double whammy, because if something is being bought and then a whole big slew of hedge funds come in and cover shorts on that position, boom, it shoots it flying higher, right? And I'll give you just a couple of brief examples. There have been so many companies that when you drill down into their 10-Qs and their actual data that they're reporting, which looks terrible. I mean, there's companies out there, one of them, an example, Plug Power. So here's one of these companies that everybody seems to love because it's all about sustainable energy and hydrogen power and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Their loss that they reported on the 9th, just this last week, was bigger than their revenues.
Oh.
Now let that sink in for just a second, right? But yet the stock, the day before their earnings were announced through yesterday, was up 72%, and their loss was bigger than their revenues. Now, the effect of that is that they've got a negative gross margin. I'm laughing to myself, and I get tongue tied sometimes because you can't even believe that people would fall for buying a company like that. This is what happens when a company is overshorted, and then those shorts have to cover. It rockets it higher. A negative gross margin just means that you're buying something and selling it at a loss. That's all that means. Mm-hmm. They've got a negative gross margin. And I could go through 100 different companies that have exactly that scenario in play. And over the past 2 weeks to a month, their stock prices are significantly higher. Not on fundamental buying, not because they're great companies, but because they're getting covered with overshorted positions on weak-handed hedge funds. You follow me?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes, I'm understanding exactly what you're talking about this morning. Talking with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. As we talk a little bit more about what's going on, talk a little bit about positioning, as Chris has mentioned, a little bit about some of the factors that are contributing to the current state of where we are right now. Some details for what you can be doing and things to be thinking about when it comes to positioning. We'll get those details from Chris in just a moment. In the meantime, if you haven't been to the website yet, get on over there now. It's careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. Email info@careformywealth.com. Even better, more importantly this morning, pick up the phone, give Chris a call, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. We'll continue our conversation with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. We'll do that next here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game. Fox Sports 1070 The Game, talking with Chris Klein of Capstone Wealth Management. The website, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. You can email Chris, info@careformywealth.com. That's info@careformywealth.com. And the telephone number, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. And Chris, as we left that previous segment there, I hate to say it, kind of a picture of gloom and doom. Let's talk about some of these bad fundamentals and some of the effects it's going to likely have on the economy going forward, and most importantly, to everyday people.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm really not that negative in person.
Not at all. That's
I'm actually a pretty cheerful, chipper guy. And but hey, look, we got to call it how we see it, right? We have no axes to grind. I get paid by no one other than the client who we are blessed to serve. I don't get paid by TV. I don't get paid by radio advertising. I don't get paid by anyone and anything else. So I could care less what any of those people think. I'm simply here to serve our people. And I know that might sound a little bit like whatever, but that's the reality of it. I am literally here to do one thing and one thing only, and that's give you the best read that we can on what's happening underneath and above the surface of the markets, help you understand rate of change that Wall Street functions on, and then how to position for it. I don't care about all the other stuff that you might hear on TV, because their job is to sell you stuff, sell you stock. That's Wall Street's job. We can't forget about that. So we are in the midst of what you could view as phase two of the bear market, right? Because what this is all about, and what this whole idea that I was explaining with regards to the profit problems existing at companies within that last segment, and again, it's not specific to Plug Power or any one other company that I might mention as an example. There are a number of companies that have the exact same fundamental problems right now, because the consumer is what it's all about. If the consumer can't create demand, then the companies are going to have problems. And so what this is all about is real GDP and a profit growth slowing recession for the next four quarters in what this is called that quad four, growth and inflation decelerating. If you think of it on GDP terms, on a year-over-year basis, going from 1.62% to 0.07% in the next four quarters, or if you listen to it the way Wall Street speaks about it, sequentially, right? Mm-hmm. Sequentially, month over month. Well, that ends with two back-to-back quarters of negative 3% GDP growth. I don't care how you cut it or slice it. It's decelerating growth. And that's what ends up generating all sorts of really bad happenings at what otherwise are called great companies. I mean, let's think about it. Great companies that are now having to deal with 0% GDP growth. Let me give you an example, a specific example that happened just this week on Wall Street. Most people in the world of technology have heard of NVIDIA. Mm-hmm. NVIDIA is probably the largest semiconductor company, one of the largest semiconductor companies on the planet. And it is one of these companies that everybody loves for whatever reason. And it's owned by almost every fund out there. If you own a mutual fund that's a large cap mutual fund, open it up, take a look at your top 50 holdings. I'd be willing to bet you dollars to donuts that there's NVIDIA inside that fund. And I don't care what fund it is. It's over-owned. So what happened to NVIDIA? Well, what we know is that it's down 60% from its quad two growth and inflation accelerating. It's down 60% from its quad two peak. And they warned this last week of a $2 billion profit warning. It dropped 10% in 2 days. Now, you'd think that that would cause the company to become more favorably valued, quote, cheap, right?
Sure.
Even after that drop, it still had a $445 billion market cap. And that's trading after a crash and after peak 48 times earnings, while at 12.23% GDP. And now we're headed to zero. And we think that that drop that just took place is it? Like, we're just going to magically say, okay, all done now. Even with it trading at the valuations that it is, we don't use valuation as a metric because valuation at the end of the day is really an opinion. And so you kind of got to step away from that and say, well, you know, that dog doesn't hunt. And again, that's an isolated example. I get it. But the idea is that you can take that exact same framework and multiply it over and across almost every sector in every industry of companies that everyone knows as a household name because they all own the same thing. It's like being in a canoe on a river and there's four people in the canoe and they all decide to lean right.
Oh.
You're gonna tip over the canoe. I know that's a simplistic example, but that's exactly like the kinds of things that we see happening in the marketplace right now. It's a Main Street recession that'll end up being identified and recognized eventually by both the Fed and Wall Street. And how do we know that it's that? Well, PPI came out, Producer Price Index. That came out on Thursday, which, oh, by the way, one of the other things that was totally ignored in the media cycle was Thursday, we also saw, along with PPI data that came out, jobless claims. And what happened to those? Oh, they ticked up from 248,000 to 262,000. So what's one of the metrics that we've often talked about with market cycles peaking? And that is jobless claims going up. We haven't seen anything yet simply because companies haven't had their margins squeezed to the point where they've really had to unload people. We've seen it. We've been talking about jobless claims ticking up for a while now. It's just that they're still historically very, very low. And so the Fed doesn't pay attention to it. But the PPI came out. And one of the things that we look at is what's called a CPI-PPI divergence. Now, I'm going to throw something at you, and I'm not going to take a lot of time to explain it because I know we're running out of time. If you don't know what a Z-score is, take a moment and go look it up. There's a 3.1 Z-score on a CPI-PPI divergence. I know that sounds like quadratic math, but please, it's not. It's compressing for the first time in 5 months. Now, here's the key. The last time we had a Z-score like this of the CPI-PPI divergence was February 1973 through November of 1974. And during that time, the S&P 500 only saw a 48% drop. Oh. These comparisons that I keep giving you week over week are stunning. Yeah. They're stunning to me, and I see it every day, right? The reality is that we are experiencing a bear market rally that is founded upon the fundamental truth of a squeeze of short covering that's taking place from weak-handed hedge funds across the cycle. At some point, the cycle is going to have shot all the bears completely dead. People will have given up that we're bearish and quit. They'll jump back into the market because the media sucks you in saying the bear market's over, it's new bull market, who could be wrong when they're cheerleading like this on TV? I'm going to buy. And it's right at that time that the big boys come back and put a right hook right to your temple. Mm-hmm. Don't let that sort of stuff happen, right? So we still have several quarters of very negative data that'll come out. It's just a slow motion environment. And so from a positioning standpoint, if it happens to be through 401k, 403b, other retirement money because you're actively working, the best and safest place to ride this thing out, because it's not over and it may take a number of months, is to literally just sit in cash or stable value, something that's going to protect your capital. If you're attempting to work through and trade this, well, then a function comes down to how can we do it with the least amount of volatility? And you can do that through currencies and bonds. And when the market really flashes that it's time to reshort, we're not directly short US equities yet. We're short Europe because that place is a mess and a complete train wreck. And they're having a bear market rally too, right? That's okay. But look at the currencies. I mean, take a look at the euro, for example. And anybody can do this. Just go online, take a look at the euro. FXE is a proxy for the euro trust. If we look at it from, you can look at it from a number of angles. But if you look at it just from the beginning of this year, mm-hmm. the euro itself is down 10%. That's a currency. Wow. The currency is down 10%. Whew. That doesn't bode well in most cases for their equity markets, not to mention the fact that you're coming into winter. And they're looking at month over month costs of energy that are just through the roof. I mean, UK gas on a month over month basis is up 46%. It's going to be expensive to heat your homes over there, which means delinquencies, which means it's going to flow through into the margins of a number of other companies because people will have to make choices of paying for heat or paying for other things. Most people like to not freeze, right? Yeah. And there's parts of Europe that certainly get very, very cold. So there are lots of ways to be able to play this. But remember, even if you're down, you know, 5, 6, 7%, that's not a big deal. That is not a big deal. 20%, which is where the NASDAQ is, down from the cycle peak, that's no bueno. That's no good. And I am of firm belief that it's headed lower, right? So these are the things, these are the days of our lives. These are the stuff that these things that we're trying to attack and keep focused on and recognize that the math will ultimately control the movement of the market, regardless of what sentiment says. And right now the sentiment is starting to roll back towards our side because lots and lots and lots of bears have started to really give up saying, forget it. That guy on the radio is nuts. It's a bull market. I'm going to buy. And no, don't do that.
Now is the time as we talk with Chris each and every week. And you've heard, if you've been listening for the past few months, maybe listening for the past couple of years, you know Chris knows what he's talking about. He would love to help you out. He would love to get to know you. He'd love to work with you. You can learn more about Chris and the team at Capstone Wealth Management all on their website, careformywealth.com. That's careformywealth.com. The most important thing to do, though, this morning, pick up the phone, give Chris a call, 866-596-9886. That's 866-596-9886. You can also contact Chris through email, info@careformywealth.com. That's info@careformywealth.com. Chris, it's always fantastic hanging out with you. You enjoy this beautiful weekend, and we'll talk real soon, my friend.
Thank you. You too. We'll see ya.
This is Care for My Wealth here on Fox Sports 1070, The Game.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.